So when I got the invitation to speak about latency, and I got to know that I was within the panel of aesthetics, I thought like how to organize this and how to open a perspective about the idea of latency in aesthetic perception. And so I decided to work through images and opening a kind of different perspective. So I would like to start from the idea of how do we relate with the possible within images, but also through images. And I decided to start from this sentence, which is a sentence coming from Roland Barthes' Fragment d'un discours amoureux, within which he writes, il y a une scénographie de l'attente, je l'organise, je la manipule, je découpe en morceaux de temps, où je vais mimer la perte de l'objet aimé et provoquer tous les effets d'un petit deuil. Cela se joue donc comme une pièce de théâtre. So I decided to start from this description of what does it mean to wait, since I think that might be interesting for us to relate with the topic we are investigating so far. So first of all, we can even like relate like this kind of homophony existing in French between l'attente, the act of waiting, and l'attente, latency or latent image. But starting from this, what is so interesting, the idea of waiting for us, because actually the act of waiting, it's always the relation between something visible and something that may occur, something that may pass, we can say something possible. And what's interesting in this sentence is this idea of a scenography of waiting, so this scénographie de l'attente. So what I'm going to open today is how do we relate with images in this idea of a scénographie de l'attente. And this opens immediately two different perspectives that I would like to open today. The first one is the question, what images wait and what images do? So this will be like the question that will punctuate a little bit my presentation today. And the second one, it's since we are speaking about a waiting room, a kind of space, can we move maybe the question and know more about what latency is, but where latency is? So this will be our question right now, where is latency? So to do so, I decided to start from an image of Théodore Géricault, Les Rêves de la Méduse, very known. And we can see that in this image, the survivor of the shipwreck of the Medusa, they scratch themselves forward. So they toward a kind of horizon, the horizon, just like to see if a boat is arriving or not. And what they do as well, like when we look at this image, they ask us as well to follow with them the gaze and to save them or not. So I decided to just open with this because Giorgio Agamben, in Mezzi Senza Fine, speaks about this this painting, saying exactly that within each painting there's a sort of legatio, which he describes as a paralyzing power that asks to be disenchanted, or we might play as well with the title of this painting and say which is kind of images are paralyzed by the gaze of Medusa. And images always invites us to continue the images outside them. So we can say that images are always the fragment, so the lost fragment or the survived fragment of a lost movie that we are asked to reconstruct. So in this idea of scénographie de l'attente, starting with Barthes, we can say that if we speak about these kind of images, we might say that we find ourselves being in front of them as in front of a poster outside the theater or outside the theater performance to which we do not have access. So starting from the poster, we can just imagine what will happen or what might happen. But what it's for me even more interesting, it's entering the image, entering the space of theater and not just like staying outside, and entering the painting in its materiality. So we can say that with the matter, if we enter the painting in its materiality, even there, there's a question of waiting. And I would like to start from Giordano Bruno, that has been quoted yesterday as well by Vittoria Borso. In L'arte della memoria, he speaks about the matter and he describes the matter as the first subject of the work of art. So not just as a medium, but as what constantly waits, so there's a lot of waiting within the matter. And he said, la materia non è saturata dalla ricezione delle forme, come attestata dall'eterna sua propensione ad assumerne di nuove. So matter is never saturated by the act of receiving shapes, but it's constantly waiting for new forms. It's constantly waiting, it's never exhausting in this act of waiting. That's the potentiality of the matter, according to Giordano Bruno. So the idea of matter in the work of art, it's like, we can say it's waiting for someone to come from or to come out from the matter, as if it were an actor coming on stage. So maybe in not so many examples, this perspective of this matter waiting or ready to present someone on, is clear, as in these very, very well-known images. I Prigioni of Michelangelo Buonarroti. So Michelangelo freezes the bodies at the edge of the marble block, realizing one of the most well-known images of jailed form inside the matter. So bodies appear from the marble as if the shape had lived in it, and the artist's tasks were just like to free it from the superfluous matter. So even the title assigned by Michelangelo to this last work highlights further his conception of shapes already developed in his writing. So in his sonetti, he speaks about the idea that the task of the artist is simply to remove the matter which is in excess, or how the matter in itself contains already everything that an artist can conceive. So in Michelangelo's thought, matter's aptitude does not refer just like to the custody of a single constrained form covered by the material, as a kind of citizen of Pompeii submerged by lava, but the matter would hide in itself all possible forms. So the capability of the marble block, as of every other matter of the creation, it's not reduced to a kind of archaeological site where to discover a single image or a buried shape, but it is a powerful fluid container of all forms that an artist can conceive. So it does not exist a single shape, and we can say that the form has like different possibilities of destiny within the marble block before coming toward visibility. So if we were to ask Michelangelo what images do, he would probably say that images come or try to free themselves to come to the visible. But if I decide to speak about these images, it's just because I wanted to speak about this one. And while reading what Kazimir Malevich wrote about suprematism, I found a sentence that had a very interesting resonance with the one of Michelangelo. After centuries in suprematism, Kazimir Malevich writes, "You might delight in the composition of a painting, but surely composition is the sentence of death to a figure condemned by the artist to an eternal pause." And I was very fascinated by this idea of the composition, so the visible composition is a sentence to death. So choosing these words, so sentence of death and condemned, Malevich, he seems like to revert completely the term prigioni used by Michelangelo. So the form is not at all imprisoned in the matter, rather is completely free inside the marble block, because it has the possibility of becoming any possible or simply thinkable shape. The other way around, just in the complete exposure, the shape jails itself in a frozen pose that has no longer the ability to change its destiny, so with no further possibilities. So furthermore, through its birth or simple visible presence, the form, so the completely actual form, the form which is the form completely visible, does not only renounce to the possibility of a different future, but it anesthetizes as well the power of the matter. Indeed, the matter is now reduced to show a single image, a single shape, sacrificing the previous power. So we can say that the situation is from countless hidden images to a single one exposed, or from an horizon where everything was possible to one where apparently nothing is longer possible. Or we might say that like it's like a single actor that finds himself in this scénographie de l'attente, imprisoned in front of the audience. So it's this actor that come out in the proscenium, and it's kind of obliged to speak for eternity. So if we were asking a second time, and to Malevich this time, what images do, he would probably underline how actual images impose themselves in their completeness as poor of further destinies and into a status of single certainty and necessity that denies all previous potentialities of the matter. So apparently Malevich marks here a temporal perspective, which I think is not completely interesting for us today, by saying that the possible anticipates the visible, and when something is visible, is no longer possible. If I choose this image, it's because there's something more that this simple temporal perspective about, like the possible that precedes the visible. Some years ago, art historian that they analyzed this painting with X-ray, and they saw that below the surface of the black square, Malevich painted three different layers of three different compositions. So, if at the beginning Malevich seems to present a chronological relation between the possible and the visible, so something was possible and then becomes visible, it seems here to open to a kind of co-presence of the possible, which is still present underneath the visible. So our possible figurations are protected by the visible in the idea of Malevich. And the surface of the artwork, it's not the whole matter, but it's just, using the word of Pavel Florensky, just a royal door. And I'm using this because Malevich was very influenced by the idea of Russian icons and the idea of Russian icons in, so for example, Russian icons used to be placed at the corner of rooms as Malevich used to put the black square. And this idea of Russian icons as a kind of iconostasis behind which still lives an invisible world of all the previous hypothetical but unborn shapes. So Malevich seems to remember us that what does not belong to the image is below it. And it opens a perspective on this threshold between the surface and the matter of the work of art. And by doing so, he recuperates not only the Russian icon tradition, but generally speaking, the idea of the creation of the world. So the idea that starting from a shapeless matter, so it's something that exists both like in the Catholic and the Orthodox tradition, starting from the shapeless matter, God takes into the surface of the visible a single surface. So a chosen formless that precedes the creation of the world and kept into itself all possible or simply imaginable world. And during the 6 days of the creation, all possible worlds living within the same matter had the same probability of being created. And starting from this indetermination, during the 6 days of the creation, the visible surface is gradually shaped. So we can say that the possible surface that were not created, but that had the possibility of being created, are still there in the same matter. So this is like one of the perspectives of the creation of the world. So only in the instance in which a single form appears, all other possibilities suddenly sink as alternative possibilities or as unrealized possibility or as what could have been but was not. So beneath this, under the surface of the visible, still dwell all alternatives and possible work that belong to the same matter, just like under the surface of the statue, or the surface of the statue still covers all alternatives form that still dwell in the same matter. Okay, still there's a kind of problem that for me it's interesting in this perspective of Malevich if we want to speak about latency here. And the problem is precisely the suggestion of a completely invisibility of this world that is under the surface of the visible. That's why I decided like to open the second part of this presentation with this question. So can latency be invisible? So if we think about, for example, at this Malevich who covers completely this composition underneath, the question for that might be important for us, it's can latency be invisible? And this is like the second part of my presentation. So in a short article called Le Possible et le Réel, Bergson speaks about the reality not as the element which is opposed to the possible, but as the element that opens toward the possible. So, and to explain this, he gives an example, and he said, I'm in a garden in front of a tree, and I pronounce a sentence, or I can pronounce a sentence such as, for example, like while looking at the tree, if I had not cut it, today it would be twice as high. Or, for example, I can think of being in front of Prigioni and saying, a female body could have emerged from the same block. So if I cannot think myself unable to pronounce this sentence, so if I can pronounce this sentence, it's precisely because the block of marble, the tree of Bergson, and with them the whole reality vibrates in front of my eyes as full of unrealized potential. So a reservoir of images lives in latency under the surface of the image, and they do not belong only to the rank of the past, but to the one of the possible. So the possible alternatives of the world lives in the world in a state of latency, vibrating under our feet. To explain this idea of this vibration under our feet, I want to refer to one clear example might be the very well-known architecture of Leibniz in TODC, where we can perceive that the actual world is simply the only one which emerged above the surface of the visible. But what is interesting for me more than the architectonical model, it's interesting in this idea of what's the relation between invisibility and perception of latency, is a short text that Agamben wrote about the palace of faith of Leibniz within Bartleby or contingency. Because at a certain moment, while speaking about the idea that God reflect on the idea, on the unrealized world, he said, God contemplates all uncreated possible worlds to take the light of his own choice. For to do so, he must close his own ears to the incessant lamentation that throughout the infinite chamber of this baroque inferno of potentiality arise from everything that could have been but was not, from everything that could have been otherwise but had to be sacrificed for the present world to be as it is. So he speaks about like this lamentation that comes up, and he speaks about like this voice coming from the unrealized potential, from the unrealized possibilities. So I think that this scream, this voice of unrealized possibilities, that vibrates under our feet, might be what it's interesting for us today. It is like, if we go back to this image of theater, we might say that while looking at an actor, it is as if we were hearing suddenly voice of different actors yelling from the backstage and waiting for their moment. But this idea of this connecting voice and latency, it's interesting for two different perspectives. On the one side, the idea of force, and on the other side, the idea of materiality. So the idea of force, and I will refer right now to Georges Didier Huberman, and he speaks about latency precisely on the idea of some kind of dynamic force that tries to reemerge through the surface. So he said, for example, toute latence cherche à s'effrayer un retour vers la surface des événements. So there is no calm or renunciation. There is not simply like waiting in the dark, but the unrealized possible worlds are not always petrified in a geological stillness. Rather, they are forces that push against the surface and claiming for the light. So latency is the condition. So latency is not the possible, we can say, but latency is the condition of the unrealized possible when it tries to re-emerge. So latency is this it's this unrealized position, or it's this voice of the unrealized position. So the second perspective, one was force, and the second is materiality. And what does it mean, this pure materiality of voice, which is coming up from unrealized potential? And to do so, I was just like very interested in working with two different kind of images, two different artists. So Antonin Artaud and Francis Bacon, and then two philosophers that work on them. On the one side, Jacques Derrida, he speaks about the materiality of a subjectil, so this kind of force that tries to come up to the surface again and that withholds and sketches destroy the singularity of the figuration. And on the other side, Francis Bacon and the analyze that Deleuze makes of it, with the idea of this malerisch, so this idea of this pure materiality that comes out again, this excess of materiality that destroys the figuration. So this idea of latency as a kind of excess of materiality that emerges again. So latency does not live hidden inside the matter as a kind of virtuality, nor is exposed to the sight as a kind of alternative. If you can almost speak about, in this case, a kind of museum of latencies, is because latency has nothing to do with invisibility, but it lives on the threshold of visibility as an excess of materiality. Latency does not happen in the dark of the matter, but in the threshold of the possible. So latency lives in a layer in the middle, in the materiality and in the mediality of these images. So Antonin Artaud, speaking about these kind of images, he says as well that it exists like three different relations we have with the images. One are images that are completely open and they don't invite us to enter. The other one are images that are completely closed that they don't invite neither to enter. And then he speaks about some images that are entrefermées et entrouvertes, so are just like little bit open and invites us to open. So latency, it's not like under the matter, but is this excess of materiality that invites us to explore and to see more within the matter. So it's a kind of door that makes us access to the image. For this reason, we have to say that it's not the transparency of the image, but the opacity of the matter that allows to see more. So if to conclude, we have like to ask with this question what images do, we would have to say that sometimes by constantly exposing themselves and their own presence, images stand, so as in the case of completely actualized and completely visible images, sometimes they stand over the matter as sentinels in front of the door, so preventing the sight from passing through them nearly as it does the gatekeeper described by Kafka in Before the Law. That's it. So the completely actual image stands in front of our eyes and denies the existence of other hidden possibilities. As the old man before Kafka's gatekeeper, the gaze, our gaze, has even forgotten the existence of a world of possibilities, of unrealized possibilities, over the surface, and builds its certainty around the guardian before the door. Probably we don't hear the voice of all the other guardians within the same building of the law. But sometimes counterwise, and this is the case, the one of Francis Bacon or Antonin Artaud, images are precisely the ones able to disclose the same threshold and the category of the possible behind. They behave like a modern Virgilio, transporting the sight into the abyss of possibilities, which is still preserving in itself all images that could have been emerged but were not. So these images of Francis Bacon, of Artaud, of Michelangelo, oscillate as intermediaries between the matter and the sight. So they don't bring just like single different and alternative figuration, but all possible figuration and with this like voice that we can hear. They are like witnessing the voice of other figuration. So we can say that latency is this voice of the matter, so this pure materiality that affects us. It carries the sensitive, so it affects us and it carries the sensitive gaze into the abyss of matter from which it emerged to discover its possible variation. So if you were to ask what these images do in this double movement toward the gaze and backward again into the matter, images let emerge this same threshold, disclosing the persistence of a layer of possibility. So there's a kind of double movement of the image, so they do not simply come toward us, but they seduce us to enter into the picture as a kind of act of love. And in this double movement toward the eye and back again in the matter, the images allows us to perceive this threshold between the visible and the possible as a kind of layer of latency. So it's like this layer of seduction that affects us. So hence latency does not mean the re-emergence of a different alternative, nor it means to speak about something virtual hidden in the matter, or speaking about something invisible. But it's this mediality of layer in between. So if to conclude we go back to theater and with what we started at the beginning, we might say that latency is a kind of closed curtain, the closed curtain of theater in its pure materiality, which is suddenly moved by an actor before the beginning. And we might say as well that the black square of Malevich as well has been conceived as a kind of curtain. Malevich conceived the black square as a curtain for the victory of the sun. So we are there, we are in front of this curtain that moves. We are seated in theater waiting for something. And this movement, so this curtain that it suddenly moved, affects us in its materiality. So it says nothing more than the promise that something else can happen. So latency is not absent nor manifest. But actually, we are not the only one waiting here. So we, as spectator, we are waiting the opening of the curtain, but the curtain was waiting for us the whole day, just to seduce us for a second with its movement and its materiality that refers to nothing and to everything at the same time. So we refine here again this crucial homophony between latente, so the act of waiting, a kind of excess of time, a latente, latency, as a kind of excess of materiality. And how latency is like this seduction of the possible. That is why if we ask for the last time what images do, we can say that images, at the end, they try to seduce us and to love us. And that's where I want to go back to Roland Barthes and to the way where he finished with this fragment on the idea of waiting while asking, suis-je amoureux? Oui, parce que je l'attends. L'autre, lui, n'attend jamais. Parfois, je vais jouer à celui qui n'attend pas. J'essaie de me couper ailleurs, d'arriver en retard, mais à ce jeu, je perds toujours. Quoi que je fasse, je me retrouve désœuvré, exact, voire en avance. L'identité fatale de l'amoureux n'est rien d'autre que je suis celui qui attend. So the fatal identity of the one who loves, and in the way images love us, is I am the one who waits. Thank you.